Okay, we're continuing now with the different questions that people asked. And again, I'm working with the understanding that we're talking about children up to first grade, which is what we said we would focus on. So one parent asked, how do I get my children interested in coming to shul? So at this age, don't. Children don't belong in shul until 6 years old. At 8, at 9, at 10, you start bringing a kid to shul. They don't belong in shul at 4 and 5 and 6. You want your child to have an appreciation of what shul is? Great. So let's say it's Rosh Hashanah. So you'll bring the child for the ladies' tkios, and they'll see tkios shofar. Great. There's a bar mitzvah. So you can show up for those that minute where they throw candies and then leave. There's no point. It's an unfair expectation. You will see that child who sits there quietly at 6 years old and partakes of tefillah, and you'll think, if they can do it, why can't I? And the answer is, that child's not normal. Normal children can't sit in the shul at 6 years old. So there are children who are different, okay? We see them, they're the exception, they're not the rule. And it's not always a good exception. It's very healthy that a child runs around and doesn't want to sit down, and that's what a child should do. A child doesn't belong in shul at 6 years old. There's no point. When we were living in Kiryat Moshe, and I had the pleasure of not being the rabbi of the shul, so then I would come home and take the children for the singing of Lecha Dodi, and bring them back home right after the singing of Lecha Dodi. So I was able to play around with it. I could go to one shul for Kabbalat Shabbat. We lived a minute from shul, so when I saw I had 1 minute to Kabbalat Shabbat, I'd run home. The children were ready. I'd whisk them up to shul. We'd sing Lecha Dodi. I'd bring them back home, and then I'd go to another shul and finish davening there. And this way I was on time for everything. I don't have that luxury anymore. Okay, so the kids wait. They'll be at an age that they can sit quietly in shul and be happy with it. If you're bringing a child when they're not ready for it, you're hurting the child. It's not fair. What do you want from the kid? He's being normal. But if you bring a child at the end of davening, and they're going to come for the singing of Anim Smiros, and then their father's going to take them up to give a kiss to the Aron HaKodesh, and their father's going to tell them what a big boy they are, and what a big zchut, and kol kavod to them, when they come out, their mommy's going to look at them and say, wow, you kissed Aron HaKodesh, good for you. They were in shul, good for them, they're happy. They had the experience. What do we want for them? To come to shul and be tortured? It's not fair. A child shouldn't start coming to shul until they're old enough that they can daven, until they're old enough that they can sit quietly and it's not torture. And to bring children to shul and then the father has to spend his time babysitting, let him go daven vasikin and babysit. I did it for many years. I want your husbands in our shul, don't get me wrong. But there are many years that I davened early so that my wife could sleep late Shabbos morning, and I came home and I was with the kids until whenever. There are other ways to do it. We shouldn't be a babysitting service in the shul. It's not fair to the father, it's not fair to the shul, it's not fair to the kid. The kid's being normal. So what are you going to do, fight with him? Children shouldn't be coming to shul that young. And they can experience shul in an age-appropriate way, and that's good for them, and that's fun for them. Another question that parents asked was, when should parents start separating boys and girls in bath time? So here, we deal with parents before we deal with the kid. Some parents are neurotic about it. If the child's going to start pointing and discussing their private parts and their sister's private parts, the parent's going to flip out. So I'm not asking the parent to change. If you know that in your nature, you're not going to be able to handle it, so separate them when it works for you. Again, that's because you have a right as a parent. This is your need. It's not chinuch. It's not the child's needs. But it could be, we know there are parents who this really rubs them the wrong way. They get all excited and they start saying, that's not sanuah, and don't talk that way. And leave the kids. Come on. Give them a break. Don't give them a bath together. But if you can take it calmly and you won't get all flustered about it and things are running naturally, which means that the children will at some point notice they're different, but they're not going to deal with it all the time. They'll ask you a question here, they'll ask you a question there, and you could say, this is how Hashem created boys, and this is how Hashem created girls, and then you flow with it, and they flow with it, and after asking you once and twice, they move on, and it's not an issue. So then until about age 6, they're okay. You can save yourself the time and put them in together. Again, it'll depend on the children. Again, if for you it's a big deal, separate them. But if you can flow with it, so long as the topic shifts after mentioning it once or twice, two bath times, and they move on, you can move on. If you notice that they're laughing, they're talking about it all the time, they're touching one another, then you have to separate them at a younger age. If they're very busy even with themselves, not with their sibling, with their private parts in the bath, as opposed to the other ones, so then you have to consider separating them. But so long as it's just a passing thing, so you don't have to make an issue of it. They will ask, you will answer, they'll ask again, they'll make a joke, they'll make a comment, they'll move on, you move on, if you're okay with it. That depends on you. What about bedrooms? So here we go into a question that a lot of parents ask about teaching children tsniut. It depends on your patience and your abilities. It's very good if you can get your children into the habit that they get dressed alone, that they don't get dressed in front of everyone. Dressed, undressed. From what age? From whenever they can chap, whenever they understand. So some kids can understand that at age 4, some kids at age 5, some kids at age 6. Our experience is that at 6 years old, they don't have any real shame yet. They don't have a natural shame. But they can understand that they should be private about getting undressed and dressed. So if that's the habit that's going on in your home, that whenever a kid gets undressed and dressed, they do it privately, all the other kids respect that, they leave the room, technically boys and girls can grow up in the same room. Meaning, technically you don't have to separate them ever. It might not be a good idea, and it's very recommended if you have the ability in terms of housing to have a boy's room and a girl's room. But there are sometimes other factors to consider. One parent might have 6 boys and 1 girl. So now the 2-year-old girl is going to sleep alone because she's a girl. It might be better for the girl to have siblings in the room with her. And it's a very good thing for kids to grow up with siblings in the room with them. So there are other things to consider. If things are tsunua, so that the kids are accustomed to getting undressed and dressed alone, so they can continue together. But realistically, it's usually not that way for a different reason. And that is that many girls go to sleep with a nightgown, and as they're going to sleep, the nightgown goes up, and then they're not going to be so tsunua. And it's not right that her 12-year-old brother or 10-year-old brother is going to see his 7-year-old sister or 8-year-old sister completely uncovered. And that's why when it is possible, the more appropriate thing is the girl should be in their room, the boy should be in their room. But again, before age 6, 7, there's no need. Even after that, there's no need. So long as the kids can retain a certain tsniut, it does make it easier. Meaning, it's not going to be, for the kids, it's not good. Once the kids hit close to puberty, which in our day and age starts at about 9, depending on the kid, and depending on the society you're bringing up your kids, but once they hit an age closer to there, you don't want them in the same room, if you can do it. It's not halacha, it's practical. It's the right thing. You don't want your children being in those quarters. And this is all assuming that the facts on the ground support it. If you start seeing that the boy is touching the girl in an inappropriate way, then you can't leave them together in the bedroom. And again, you don't have to make a big issue of it, but you have to be aware of what's going on. Another question someone asked was, how do you reconcile parenting differences between a husband and wife when the kids are little and you're still trying to figure it out? So we have to remember that one of the most destructive things we can do to children is contradict our spouse. Meaning, as bad as you think what they're doing is, you think they just messed up. You would have dealt with it completely differently. The two kids are fighting and your husband went into the picture and he went all out against one of them. And he's wrong. You know he didn't understand the story correctly. You're going to do more harm to the kids by standing there and putting down your husband. You want, take him to the room, talk to him, let him fix what he did. But to contradict the other parent, even when you disagree with their style, is usually more harmful to the kids. I'm not going into the psychological discussion of triangles in relationships where children can end up being in this, parents can have a triangular relationship where it's not just husband and wife, but husband, wife, child. I'm not going there at all. I'm just saying, practically, children should feel like parents are one unit. And the fact that you have a different style than your husband, it's good for them. You'll talk to your husband. He'll convince you of some things. You'll convince him of some things. And at the end of the day, your children will still see that you're different. But the best thing you can do for a child is for him to see that you work as one unit. My children know that the most questions they'll ask me, I'll say, I have to ask Ima. A lot of it is because I don't know, and a lot of it is because I don't know the background, and a lot of it is because at this point I've already learned that it's a good idea for me to see what my wife says, and then even if I disagree, we'll come to a conclusion together. But sometimes you don't realize that that's what's going to happen, and you do something and your spouse disagrees vehemently. The worst thing you can do for the kid is to do it in front of the kid. Let it slide. And even if you disagree, if you're appalled at what your husband's doing, leave the room. But don't contradict him, because you're going to hurt the kid. The time to contradict him is in the bedroom. Talk to him and work it out so that in the future it shouldn't be that way.